Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Sunday edition of the Saints Draft Recap, or Draft Mashup, however you prefer, along with Saints sideline reporter Stephen Geller, WWL's Mark Menard. I'm Christian Garrick. We're going to rehash the Saints six-member draft class over the next 3 hours. Our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. David Potter at Master Control taking your calls at 504-260-1870. Fellas, welcome to the show. And the draft is over, but not really, because we still got undrafted free agents to talk about and also
tons of fun,
recap
right?
The six-member class. Mark, I want to start with you. Peyton Turner, defensive end out of Houston, first-round pick. It was met with some who's that kind of reaction. Yeah. After the selection, 28th overall, I'll give you my thoughts and some information that I learned a little bit later, but have you changed your mind? Where were you about the selection, and have you changed your mind since?
Well, look, I think I'm getting a reputation around this place as the eternal optimist because of my Pelicans coverage, but I'm never going to bang on one of these kids before they get on the field even. You know, I'm always going to give them the benefit of the doubt that if they were taken that high, then they were taken that high for a reason, and let's see if he can rise to the occasion. I know he dealt with a lot of injuries in college, and I know that that can move people down the draft board for a lot of these analysts that are looking on and trying to score these things, but you know, the Saints see something in this kid that they really, really like, obviously, if they took him at 28 overall, and you can never have enough pass rushers on your team. So I was never that down on it. I certainly wasn't where Bobby was on opening night there in the first round. I didn't dislike it nearly as much as everybody else, and I'm definitely going to wait and see what he looks like on the field before I pass any severe judgments.
Steve, how about you? I think originally you were a little sinister about it, but after sleeping on it?
Well, it was, I think, the reaction of everybody when the pick came down, and from all the mock drafts that we've been through all the simulations, through all the big boards that you're reading on these defensive ends, that was not a first-round name that came up. So it wasn't someone that I dedicated much time to. And you know what? What am I doing? I'm reading draft reports, scouting profiles that are online, and looking at YouTube videos. I'm not at these practices. I'm not attending these games or going to workouts seeing this guy. I haven't done a Zoom interview with him. So I definitely trust the information that the Saints do have. But I definitely thought it was amusing to see the negative reaction right off the bat. And I just think it was just because it was a name that nobody had on their radar, except there was a mention early Thursday from Adam Schefter, I guess, tweeted out that he was kind of sneaking into the first round of some people's boards, was kind of like at that low underlying level. And to me, you know, a lot of folks were calling, well, why didn't the Saints try to trade back then if they could still get him in the second round? That might have not been the case.
I'll tell you why they didn't, because the Buffalo Bills at 30 were going to take him. They were going to take him. At 33 in round two, Jacksonville, if he was there, was going to take him.
How do you know?
Because I have sources that have told me so. So he was. It's the right pick, and you know, just Steve alluded to it. It wasn't on your radar,
right?
It wasn't on others' radar. It wasn't on your radar, Mark.
No, not at all.
Wasn't on mine, but it was on the Saints, who have access to more information and cross checking and several different scouts, coaches, and others' sets of eyeballs looking at this kid and going, yeah, we see the same thing. And look, all these draft publications, I commend them. They do tremendous jobs of putting out these mock drafts. The one that you have in your hand, Mike, from Mike DeTulia, is an outstanding publication.
Right.
Right? Mel Kiper. All these guys do great work on it. But they don't have 50 guys devoted to evaluating one player for 6 weeks.
Right.
They just don't. It's not their fault. And if an analyst has one player as a third round pick, and the Saints use it as a first round pick, it's not a reach. It's just hey, they don't have the information that the Saints do. It's just that simple. I know he was going at 30 if he was still there. I know that he was going at the minimum 33 if he was still there. It's a first round pick. It's the right pick.
I think guys also are a little hesitant about this pick because the last defensive end this team got in the first round, there's still huge question marks around with Marcus Davenport. And it's not really a talent issue with him. It's an injury issue, but that still has a negative label surrounding him, even though the guy's been a producer when on the field.
I'll tell you what I liked about Peyton Turner. When we got him on this station on Thursday night, when you guys talked to him, I liked his enthusiasm.
Yeah.
He's ready to join this team. He's very excited about joining this team, and that's something you love to hear. And look, he sounds like an intelligent kid. He definitely comes across as a smart guy. He comes across as an enthusiastic guy. And look, the defensive line, you got to be ramped up to play the defensive line, and he seems like he's pretty excitable. So I do like that about him initially.
But Let's face it. Cameron Jordan is getting long in the tooth. He just is. And right. He's been magnificent as a Saint, right?
Never missed a game since getting drafted. The Iron Man.
Not to mention, he's been highly productive, but this year he dipped off a little bit. So it behooves the Saints to start finding a guy that could be his eventual successor.
Yeah, when you're talking about Cam Jordan, you're talking about a certain Saints Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. The one thing when we had Peyton Turner on with you guys after getting selected that did not help was he goes, oh, I know the Saints liked me. I didn't know they liked me that much.
Yeah, well, it's a good kept secret.
Right, right.
I mean, that's why
but
Dana Holgorsen,
when people heard that, though, I'm sure it did not help their perception.
Dana Holgorsen, when he was picked, the coach of Houston, called Sean Payton after the selection and said, hey, how come you didn't tell me? And Payton said, because I didn't want it to get out. I didn't want anybody to know that I had a
first ships, round. Baby.
Yeah. All right. We're just getting started. Mark Menard, Steve Geller, Christian Garrick here on Draft Fest Recap here on WWL. Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick back here on our Saints Draft Recap. Draft mashup, six-member class for the Saints. The first-round pick, Peyton Turner, was panned largely, but I think those that have done a little research, made a couple calls, have maybe changed their mind on that selection. I don't think we're going to be able to change Bobby Hebert's mind, but nonetheless, excluding the first-round pick.
Does that include you when you say made a couple calls and changed their mind?
Yeah. Originally, I was like, eh, you know. But and then I thought, well, just because you didn't know of them doesn't mean that it's a bad pick.
Right.
We'll start with Steve here. Aside from the first-round pick, picks 2 through 7, give me your favorite and your least favorite.
I would definitely say my favorite pick, I'm most interested in seeing more of Adebo, obviously, because of that. It's that position of need. You know, the length and the ability to be able to come in and hopefully be a contributor right away because we know of the issues that this team's facing at the cornerback spot. I think the Marshawn Lattimore potential suspension. We're still waiting to hear more on his case when he got pulled over a couple months ago in his hometown. And I know the lawyer came out and said that, you know, things will be cleared up more later on his client. What else is he going to say? But I'm imagining that the NFL is going to impose some kind of suspension on him. So you're probably going to be without your starting number one guy week one. Your number two guy is in a different place right now. So this young cat's going to have to come in and if maybe not be the number one corner, at least the number two on this team right away. And I just want to see, obviously, more of him to know if he's going to be able to be that guy. And are we going to see this team as well add in free agency a veteran body? Because they're, to me, Christian, there's just way too many holes there at that corner spot.
They have to. Give me your least favorite pick.
I don't know about least favorite, but my biggest question is definitely with the quarterback, Ian Book. I don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute right away. And I know that's not the situation for him. It's someone to learn under, you know, Peyton, Jameis Winston, and Taysom Hill here. But I know everyone's saying that this is a Sean Payton pick. This is a Sean Payton guy. He talked about him on the Dan Patrick Show of having similar traits of being like him, although Sean says he doesn't even recall that interview. I'm just wondering the success of, you know, Notre Dame quarterbacks in the NFL and how they translate into this league, from college into the NFL. And can you name the last Notre Dame quarterback in the pros? And I can just come up with Joe Montana.
I mean, there was Brady Quinn. I remember Brady Quinn.
You're right. That's not a great example, though.
No, you were asking for the last one.
Right, okay.
I remember Brady Quinn, and I think there's been one other one since then. But, you know, for me, I actually like the Ian Book pick because I'm excited to see a young quarterback, you know, with a lot of potential develop in this system. We haven't really gotten to see that too much over the years because Drew Brees has been so steady that there hasn't been a need to develop a young quarterback.
Totally right.
And you know, we've seen a couple of guys come in here. You know, you had Deshaun Canfield and Garrett Grayson and, you know, a couple guys like that. But I think of the guys that Sean has brought in as like a developmental quarterback, I think Ian Book is the biggest name out of all of them. Notre Dame's got that cemented Saturday spot on NBC where, you know, every Notre Dame game is going to get a lot of coverage. So whoever plays for that team is going to be well-known, especially at the quarterback position. And I really want to see what Sean could do to develop him.
We were introduced to Ian Book in the bowl game against LSU.
Yeah.
Came off the bench.
Right.
And rallied Notre Dame to a win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that's hard as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
As a freshman, that's hard to do in and of itself. Listen, I'm going to give you my favorite, my least favorite. Landon Turner is my favorite pick of the late round picks. Okay, and here's why. I think you got a player similar to Zach Strief, who turned into a starter, right? Originally a seventh round pick, became a starter. I think you got a better athlete than Zach Strief at that position. I think he gives you an opportunity to start at right tackle. And I think he's a player that in the sixth round, you got in your building for the next 10 to 12 years. That's hard to do.
And sounded so mature and ahead of his years when we had him on the air.
Yeah, for sure. Beyond it, he sounds very, very mature and intelligent. You're right.
I said it in your ear at the time. I was like, this guy sounds like a coach.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he gets it. He's a junkie. I know that the Saints were at his pro day and really, really, really liked him. He ran a 5.40 at 6'7", 323. That's moving. For a guy that size, that's moving pretty good. But again, he's my favorite pick of the later rounds. Pete Warner's the pick that I go, I just don't know, right? Like, I'm not in love with it.
The Ohio State.
Yeah, the Ohio State. And it's only because for a second round pick, that's a player I think you should count on as being a starter or at least being in a lot of packages defensively. And I think he's probably going to be a weak side linebacker. And he wasn't as productive as you would like at Ohio State. But then again, it goes back to, hey, the Saints know more than we do.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So, but for the purpose of this exercise, Pete Warner would be a draft pick that I'd go,
I think the one thing we do know about Pete Warner, though, is that he's going to have every opportunity to win that job because there's not a lot in the cupboard there for the Saints at linebacker. You've got DeMario Davis. He's your surefire starter, but who's going to be next to him? Is Zach Bond going to take a step forward? Is Pete Werner going to have a chance to come up and start as a rookie? I think he's going to have a great shot.
Yeah, there's one thing with the linebacker position. I've told you guys this, too. That concerns me overall is who is the linebacker that this Saints staff, since Sean Payton's got here, has developed. They've gone through a number of draft picks, and maybe the most successful, I guess, would be like an Anzalone or A.J. A.J. Klein wasn't an in-house
drafted
guy. But yeah, and Alex Anzalone. But other than that, you go through the list, not very good. And yeah, me and Mark kind of went back and forth. And, you know, the blame for a while was, oh, Joe Vitt can't develop anybody. But then after that, it's still been a very similar case. So I have concerns there. I don't know if maybe the scouting department on linebackers isn't, you know, on top or in key to what their needs are. But everything I've seen about Werner is that he's a smart player. He's got the smarts on the field and the try. He's got the motor and all, but he's not necessarily the most talented and gifted guy physically.
Yeah, but you know, they've had other players in the past be successful, you know, at that position. And I'll take Scott Shanley, for example. Scott
outside Shanley, came in from the outside.
Yeah, though. But I'm talking about the idea that he's not the most athletic.
I hear you.
But Scott Shanley was always where he needed to be.
Yes,
he was at the right time. He was going to be disciplined. He was going to be where he needed to be. He wasn't going to freelance. He was going to play the system, play the scheme. And I think if Warner turns out like that, I think it's a good pick. I think it's a real good pick. You mentioned his intelligence. All of these guys are off the charts in terms of their football IQ. All of them have been. And when I'm critical of Warner, it's not that I'm that critical. If there's one, I just wonder because, as you pointed out, they haven't drafted well at that position.
Not at all.
That's the one they've hit in free agency.
Sure.
And trades, Jonathan Vilma and
DeMario Davis.
So I give them the benefit of the doubt to a degree. But if there's one that I'm going to question or kind of, and again, it's
Stanley Arnold, Chip Vaughn. You know
what
I mean?
Well, Chip Vaughn's a safety. Stanley Arnold was a linebacker. Alex Anzalone. You're right.
Stephon Anthony.
There wasn't a lot of development of those players that we talked about. There wasn't monumental growth that we saw.
And that they didn't do anything anywhere else. Ronald Powell. he looked fantastic. Man, that I remember the guy was a chiseled body.
Oh, yeah. Kid out of Florida, right?
Yeah, he was the number one high school player at his position.
Martez Wilson.
I mean, so, look, we can give you some examples, but ultimately, we'll see how this class works out. And I do believe in what Mickey and Sean say when it comes, it's hard to evaluate a class 48 hours after it's been produced. You know, I think 2-3 years, see them on the field, get them in games, and then you can get a true indication of how good or bad this class is.
Yeah, before I start calling anybody a terrible pick, yeah. I want to see him at least a week in pads, please. Yeah. Please.
See him in a preseason game, yeah, for crying out loud. And as much as we hate the preseason, that's where that time is for, is evaluating your class, your draft class, and your undrafted rookie classes.
Well, to me, that's why the jury's also still out on Zach Bond. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a rookie last year. He didn't get to do much, but
mostly
special teams. But I think, you know, between him and Pete Werner, one of those guys is going to have a shot at least to break into the starting lineup alongside DeMario Davis, because there's just not a lot on this team linebacker wise.
You know what else stands out about this class, and Sean Payton talked about it, is because of the lack of medical information that they could get this year through the combine, they went safe. And that's okay. I'd rather them, like Caleb Farley, for instance, went to the Titans, all right? He might have to have another back surgery. That would be three.
And they're saying he could be ready for camp. He's likely.
When you pick a cat 22 overall, he better be ready to roll.
That was my biggest thing with him. It was just too much medical. And I get the talent everyone's talking about, how if he wasn't banged up, he'd be a top 10 pick, no doubt. But guess what?
He's banged up.
He is.
He is, though.
Right. I mean, that's just, it's not incredibly high. It's not a top 10 risk that you're taking when you pick Caleb Farley at 22. But to hear that he could potentially need another back surgery. So my point is that the Saints, I think, erred on the side of caution instead of rolling the dice on players that might have a medical issue, because it's costly. I mean, think about what that could cost the Titans. Right, if Caleb Farley for whatever reason has to have a third back surgery, you're not just talking about can he play anymore, but is he going to be able to walk?
Exactly. And that's why I said the whole thing of it being a back, and you everybody knows here we've all had our back issues, and it's crippling just to your whole your being. You can't walk properly. You can't even sit properly. You're not comfortable resting. And if it's something that carries into, obviously, throughout his career, you just wonder how effective he's going to be able to turn and twist and pivot on the field.
Anything with a back or a neck, that's red flags.
Yeah, back and well, I can't think. I've dealt with back pain, as you pointed out. I'm sure you two have as well. Back injuries and rib injuries are the worst. If you have any, it's the worst. I mean, the ribs are going to heal more likely and better than a back injury would, but
that kind of lingers
in
the back.
Pain, in terms of just pain and being uncomfortable, man, that's tough to do. It's tough to deal with. You're not high on Ian Book?
It's just the fact that I'm wondering how much really he can develop here. I'm not sold on, I guess, the arm ability. I know everyone talks about he's got accuracy, he's got the leadership qualities, kind of comparing him to like a Drew Brees type of quarterback. It didn't wow me any. And that might just be a Notre Dame bias that I kind of have. I'm not really high on the school or the talent that they have coming out. I didn't want them to get the linebacker either coming out of Notre Dame.
When the Saints drafted David Onyemata, were you wowed in the fourth round?
Oh, I bet that's a fourth rounder.
That's exactly. So fourth rounders aren't going to wow you.
Right, right.
You know, typically, you know, I mean,
Ian Book was a fourth rounder.
I got you.
But the Saints have done well historically in the fourth round. I'll show you Jari Evans, Jermon Bushrod, fourth round picks. David Onyemata,
yeah,
fourth round pick. They tend to hit there.
My question, I guess, is what's the vision for Book? What are you seeing for this guy? Is he a potential starter?
I think that I don't know what the Saints think about Ian Book his long term their vision. I think that they feel like he's got a lot of intangibles that they really see as a player that could transition to the pro game at that position that they really like, and with some development he could potentially turn into a starter.
Yeah, I just love too when Sean Payton was asked about, you know, comparing him. Oh, he reminded you of told Dan Patrick that Ian Book reminded him of himself, and he said, well, if he reminded him of me, I wouldn't have drafted him.
Yeah, self-deprecating moment there. He's like, I wouldn't have drafted me. Sean Payton being on the scab strike year, quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Paulson Adebo, Mark, you like that selection?
I do. Yeah, look, we know that cornerback is one of those positions where you can never have enough. And the Saints don't have many right now. You know, Steve alluded to it. You know, Janoris Jenkins is not on this team anymore. He has moved on to Tennessee, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so you've got Marshon Lattimore, who is going to likely have some type of suspension involved with his arrest. And you hate to see it. And you just definitely want to see how all this plays out. But we all know how the NFL works. They generally tend to just go ahead and, let's get the suspension out the way and we'll figure everything else out later. That's Roger Goodell's tactic usually. So he's probably going to miss a couple of games, and that leaves you with Patrick Robinson and PJ Williams, who, you know, they're great guys in terms of, you know, nickel and dime coverage, and they get the job done a lot, you know, with that. But in terms of being your number one corner and guarding the number one receiver, I don't know if I trust either of those guys with that. And so with Marshawn not there, you're going to need somebody in there that you think has the potential to do that. And look, Paulson Adebo is a big guy. He's fast enough. He's smart. And sometimes those smarts can help get you out of a jam on defense when the talent maybe not quite where you want it to be. And look, I've seen some people say he could have gone a lot higher in this draft. So I like the pick. I think that he's going to come in, and I think of all the guys that they pick, has maybe the best potential to be an immediate starter just because they need guys at that spot.
8 picks, 22 games, and like 24 pass breakups, pretty impressive, obviously. And yeah, the Saints need all the ball hawking they can get in that secondary. The big thing too, you mentioned guys like Patrick Robinson and PJ Williams. PJ Williams, I know, gets a lot of heat from fans, but is so valuable because he can play any position on the field for this team. I would not expect him, obviously, to be a number one or number two corner. And Patrick Robinson, I feel like, when's the last time we've really seen him contributing for this team? He's always seems to be on the sideline since coming back when they signed him as a free agent coming out of Philadelphia as the top slot corner. Really hasn't produced back in black
up.
And gold.
Yeah, he's been
and he's up there. You talk about long in the tooth.
Yeah. And even in his first tenure with the Saints, we didn't see much. It was with the Eagles that he showed out when they won the Super Bowl.
Right. They got that Super Bowl potential back, and then he's just never found that glory again.
And I don't think it's his fault. It's just injuries have continued to catch up with him. I think, you know, when he's in the game, he's more than serviceable. But
look what he did in the Lions game. He came up with a crucial interception in the red zone.
Exactly.
You know, there's no doubt he can play. It's just it's been the injuries. All right, Who Dat Nation, weigh in. Your favorite pick from the 6-member class of the New Orleans Saints and your least favorite, 504-260-1870. It is Draft Recap, Mark Menard, Steve Geller. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Mark Menard, Steve Geller, Christian Garrick here on our draft mashup, the 6-member class of the New Orleans Saints. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. What's your favorite pick and your least favorite pick of the six-member class for the New Orleans Saints. They started with eight picks. We knew they were not going to use all eight of those picks.
Yeah.
We knew at some point they would trade up. They did it twice. One in the third round, one in the sixth round. And again, I just really like Landon Turner. And I know I'm probably paying way too much attention to a sixth-round draft pick, but I really believe that they got a player that's going to be in that building for 8, 10, 12 years. I just do.
See, that position, the offensive line, is obviously one that this team has done amazing things developing, whether it is their drafted guys, the late round, or even the undrafted players that they bring in. The eye for the talent and the development of them has just been spot on for this team. Breeze has always had a great protection around him. And I think the year they won the Super Bowl, they won like the
All Madden
offensive line.
And we've just seen that throughout the years, and just helps with the passing and running game so much. I love the big body guy too from Kentucky. And you know that, he's got the intelligence, the smarts, the size, and with the talent around him as well and the coaching staff, I don't blame you one bit for being excited about the pick, because the Saints have just been able to turn these big the big nasties up front into solid performers week in and week out. And we know how much bruising and they go through during a game, and they just seem to take the most punishment since there's contact on every play. So you got to have a slew of these guys in your stable.
Look at the offensive line. I'll get to you, Mark. Give me a second. Look at the offensive line currently in place. Teron Armstead was a third rounder, right?
Right.
Andrews Pete's a first rounder, right? Ryan Ramczyk's first rounder, late first rounder.
Ruiz
is a second rounder. So was McCoy.
No, Ruiz was a first.
Yeah, Ruiz is first.
You're right. I apologize. Ruiz was a first. I got McCoy and him mixed up, because McCoy was a year that they didn't have a first rounder because they moved up the year before to get Davenport. My point is that they found an elite tackle in the third round.
Yeah, from Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Right. And they found players, Jermon Bushrod, Jari Evans, Carl Nix, in the fourth and fifth rounds.
They were pretty good,
too.
You get
the point here? You get the point?
The thing I like about what the Saints do with their offensive linemen is that even if they have guys in here that aren't going to start, they still find ways to get these guys involved. Almost every offensive lineman that makes the roster makes a contribution, whether it be the 64 is eligible days of Zach Strief when people were wearing jerseys that said 64 is eligible. You know, there's always that jumbo package for the tackle. And when guys get hurt, you know, these guys come, the guys on the bench come in and plug in, and there's almost no, you know, drop off just about every time they do it. So they pick the right guys, they develop them well, and everybody that they bring in here on the offensive line is going to have a chance to contribute at some point, you can bet.
Well, it's a position group that they've not only drafted well, but I think grown well in the building. Once they get them in the building, you know, coaching them up. Dan Rauscher, who's now the tight ends coach, I think is one of the best at his position.
And he's got a great assistant now, too.
He does. He's got a pretty good one. I heard he's okay.
kind of a goofball. He's not.
Well, Brandon Nugent is the offensive line coach. Our former compadre.
Co-worker.
And we're intentionally not saying his name just because.
The name that will not be spoken.
No, we're not doing it for that reason, just because we want to. He's the assistant offensive line coach. Anyway, Dan Rauscher, I think, deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do when he was the offensive line coach and developing those players. I think he had a big role in that. In the Saints organization, they do that well. Bill's a Dolphins fan, so Bill can sit on hold for a little bit. 504-260-1870. Saints Nation, Who Dat Nation, we want to hear your best, your favorite and least favorite picks of the 2021 six-member draft class. Kawan Baker, the wide receiver out of South Alabama. I don't know if you guys heard him last night. But there were several teams that were already talking to his agent about, hey, if you go undrafted, we want to talk to you. That's exactly why
the Saints picked him to avoid him. All that, right?
Yeah, they didn't want to have to compete, with other teams to get him. And if you go watch him I looked up some of his stuff on YouTube, and he's versatile, man. He's powerful. They used him at South Alabama at times almost as if he were a running back. You know, not jet sweeps, but more jet like tosses and almost on a sweep. But it wasn't straight. You know, it wasn't straight down the line. They had a little. He would have a little bend in the backfield. So he's a powerful guy, 6'1", 215, and he can run too. Now again,
put his locker right next to Ty Montgomery. He'll learn a lot.
Yeah, you know what? They drafted a player that is not just a wide receiver, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. And we've seen this team go through a number of wide receivers, trying to find that number two guy. And I'm not saying that, you know, this seventh round pick is going to be that, but there's a lot of young competition right now on this Saints roster. We've seen guys even last year like the Callaway, the Juwan Johnson. You still have Traquan Smith that I know everyone's expecting to have that breakout year still. I'm curious to see how this wide receiver will fit into to the camp battle, because I know they still need someone to still stretch that field, and now we got a stronger armed quarterback that will be trying to push the ball downfield a little more, where Drew was a little more was limited with how far he could get the ball downfield.
He acknowledged that. Drew did. After, you know, once he made his announcement of his retirement, he was dealing with so many different injuries. He just couldn't. It wasn't just the arm strength. It was he couldn't rotate.
He was healthy. Well, he felt like himself one game all year, he said.
He couldn't rotate. And if you're a quarterback, rotating is, I mean, it's kind of important.
The only problem is we kind of saw that. We know, Drew. Yeah.
I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but Traquan Smith only comes up when there's history to be made. We have so many Drew Brees historical highlights, and it's Traquan Smith on the other end. It's like, you know, stay healthy and put some of those catches together in the rest of the game too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's shown up at big moments. And look, I think that they like Marquez Callaway a lot.
And I like Marquez Callaway a lot.
And I can tell you that Deontay Harris might be that vertical guy at times. I'm not saying all the time. And look, we've seen this offense function at a high level without them having to necessarily throw the ball deep, you know, on these on these big vertical routes. There's a number of ways they can get the ball down the field. You remember in the days of Jimmy Graham, man, that seam route, that was basically their vertical shot play.
Bread and butter there.
Yeah, know? And that was their vertical shot play. Get down the seam. And so there's a number of different ways, and the Saints have illustrated that over the years, that they can get the ball down the field.
And part of the reason that works so well is because when somebody's covering Jimmy in the seam, they probably couldn't tackle him. They probably weren't big enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to tackle that big rascal.
He would break loose, and it was off to the races.
Well, he could jump for the ball. You guys know he was a basketball player before he switched to tight end, right?
Really?
That's kind of like when you and I were doing that show on 1350.
Way back in the day.
Drew Brees.
What do you think about Drew? Oh, he's good. Christian looked at me like, that's your analysis?
And
I was there like all proud, sitting there like, he's good.
Yeah. I like him.
All right.
I think he can play.
This is Saints NFL Draft Mashup here on WWLAMFMN.com. Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick here on Draft Recap. Six-member class is in the books, and we'll get more into that class. Also, the undrafted rookie free agents. But did y'all see last night where, you guys said it was the Rams that had a picture of Roger Goodell in their draft board right behind, you know, up on a wall?
One, odd, and two, that can't go over well with Saints fans seeing the Rams with a picture of Roger Goodell and looked like kind of a makeshift spur-of-the-moment, last-minute office setup, because there was nothing else in there except for that picture of Goodell behind
them. That was a troll job. And the Saints responded with a picture of Secretariat. They put Secretariat in their draft room. And it was Derby Day, right? So it was fitting. Right. But if you just think hard, long and hard about a horse, you'll...
A horse is behind.
Yeah, you'll find out the hidden meaning behind that. Just saying, I don't have that confirmed, but just if I'm left to my own opinion... And I arrive at that decision or that opinion, that's what I would arrive at. I missed, though, last year with the virtual, I kind of missed Roger Goodell's basement. I kind of missed,
Sean Payton in his house.
Yeah, and with the Skittles, well, it was the Skittles and Twizzlers.
Right,
and,
his candy and Mike stash.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel had his kids dressed up in all kinds of weird Minion outfits. I mean, I missed that part of it.
And Bill Belichick in, like, Grandma's kitchen. Like,
yeah,
this little
with a
tiny
dog.
Little tiny kitchen, and he's got like one sad laptop, and half the time they'd show the shot, and he's not even in there. He's like walked off.
Right, the dog was manning the draft board.
Yeah, but then Cliff Kingsbury had the spread, to the point where even Patrick Mahomes tweeted out, like, his former coach at Texas Tech, like, man, I want to be living like Cliff.
Right? I mean, he had the suit on, the loafers with no socks, yeah. Fire going.
The super modern, up-to-date looking house with the beautiful portrait.
Wall-sized window.
Yeah, looking out over a gorgeous pool that I'm sure. Yeah.
And a fire pit.
Yeah, on the other hand, it was great to see fans back at a draft. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And seeing that, it was fantastic that we missed that. I would take what I saw yesterday, or over the last 3 days, I should say, over the virtual stuff. As much as the virtual stuff was funny and entertaining, that felt more normal than we've experienced in a while. There was a ton of fans in Cleveland, and man, it was just welcome to see.
They even had live music going.
Yeah.
Another thing we haven't seen in a while. They had Kings of Leon. They had Black Pumas. They had everybody out there performing.
Well, it's great to be back in studio, but I will say the getting downtown and dealing with drivers, not the fun part of getting to be back in our location here. The drivers and actually pedestrians even gave me issues down in the city trying to get just to parking. So I was like, I need this crap already this morning. Come on.
Yeah, you guys missed out on the good lockdown commutes like I had, where it was like, man, 15 minutes down the interstate, nobody around. I'm at work.
Yeah, hey, but you, Mark just had to worry about, though, when he parked, there were coyotes running around.
Yeah, there were coyotes in parking garages.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I would walk out of here at night, and it was like, I am legend. The whole city was dark, and I had to make my way to the garage. Yeah. A friend sent me a picture from a garage downtown because everybody was gone.
Mark the started looking tasty.
To make their way into the city, and one was like roaming around a parking garage. I was waiting for the elevator to open one day, and then that was going to be it.
Yeah. Better you than me. And I welcome the crowd, Steve. I'll welcome the traffic. I'll welcome all of them.
Coyotes are the only things that look at me and say, oh, he looks like a whole snack.
It must be the jersey still in me because I get actually very angry and violent on the highway.
One down, two more to go here on our draft recap show. Weigh in on our Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Your favorite pick, your least favorite pick from the 6-member class of the New Orleans Saints. This is WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.